Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well. And what a blessing it's been just being in this place today. Surely you can sense the presence of the Lord here. I trust you've already been blessed just being in church at this time. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 14, Acts chapter 14, I believe this is where the Lord would have us to be today. I'm going to be studying and reading verse 8 down to verse 22. Acts chapter 14, if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together this morning. If you're able to stand, as I read, you follow right along with me. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. The Bible says, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, In the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he arose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, we do thank you for, Lord, just first of all, the opportunity to be in church today, and then for the blessings we've already received. And now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture, and I know that you have a message for each one of us through this, I just pray that you would give each one that ear to hear. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. What a story here in Acts chapter 14. The great missionary slash evangelist, Apostle Paul, was just serving the Lord. He was called by God to the ministry to the Gentiles. And so Paul was in Lystra preaching and teaching the very words of God. And God led him to heal a certain crippled man, verses 8 through 10. And this man had been crippled from birth. And so everyone knew that this was something that this man was crippled. It was nothing that was fake or put on. And as he looked to God, and Paul knew this would be one that God would heal, we find that Paul instructed him to get up and leap and walk, and he was able to get up and walk, this crippled man. The Gentile crowd wanted to deify Paul because in their minds, only a god would be able to perform such a miracle. In verse 11, the Bible says, "And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, in the speech of Lycaonian, the gods." Understanding, they didn't have a good understanding of the God of Israel. That's why Paul was there, to try to help them. But they said, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And then in verse 13, then the priests of Jupiter, which was before the city, brought oxen and garland to the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. So they wanted to deify him. And when Paul realized what they were going to do, Paul rebukes their actions and barely keeps them from idolatry. He preaches to them Christ, and then in verse 18 he says, and with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people. Means they didn't want to. They wanted to deify Paul. But after Paul had preached and revealed to them the truth, scarcely restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. So Paul was able to keep them from this idolatrous act. The very next verse, verse 19, the Bible says, as they were under some influence of some evil Jews that came, there came certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So we find here the very same people in a crowd who wanted to deify Paul now wanted him dead. And so they stoned Paul. And in stoning in the Old Testament, in the Bible days rather, we find that they would make sure they would surround him and they'd pick up stones and they'd keep throwing the stones until his body was somewhat crushed and there was no more breath in his body. And then they would carry the body outside the city and leave the body out there for the wild animals to devour. That's what they would do in the stoning of that time. So the people actually killed Paul. He was not breathing. His body had been crushed with the stones, drew him out of the city. Well, and then verse 20, the Bible says, howbeit his disciples stood round about him, no doubt they were mourning over the loss of Paul, he rose up and came into the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas and Derbe. So we find out that God, miraculously, if God is the same God that was able to heal the crippled man and was able to bring the dead back to life. And so we find that God healed Paul's body and gave him new life. So there in the midst of the other brethren, the other believers, they see that Paul was dead, thinking that God had allowed him to be killed. And then they view him getting up. And not only getting up, but is able to walk and to travel. And so no doubt here that God performed a miracle of healing. And you would think that Paul, after what had just happened to him, would have been thinking, well, I'm never going back to that city again. They had their chance. Those wicked individuals, all I wanted to do is help them. Then they see what was able to happen when that cripple was able to have health to his legs and he was able to get up and walk. You might even think that Paul would have been somewhat vindictive and said, God, because of what they did to me, would you just heap coals of fire on their head? That's what the human side of us would do. Somebody would mistreat us, somebody that would take my good and return it with evil. You would think that's possibly was going through Paul's head. But can I tell you that was not what was going through Paul's mind? We find in verse 21, the Bible says, they returned again to Lystra. They returned, Paul went back again. Now we might say, reading that, Paul, are you crazy? They're just going to do it again. They wanted you dead the first time, you go back, they're just going to stone you again. Paul, why would you put yourself in that same situation to where they stoned you the first time, they'll stone you again? Can I tell you, the only reason that Paul would have returned to Lystra would be God's will for his life. Paul had given up everything, turned away from his old life, turned away from everything that he had worked so hard before he met Christ to achieve. He turned his back on all of the past and he focused on God and God's will for his life, and that's why he was in Lystra to start with. The only thing that would allow Paul to go back into the very same city where they had stoned him would be God's will for his life. Paul would not allow this stoning to keep him from God's will. When I was about 14 or 15, my oldest brother, Wendell, had a little farm, and he had ponies on the farm, and I didn't know at the time that they were wild ponies, and he would try to break them and sell them and so that the kids could ride the ponies, and I went over for the first time to fellowship with him, just to visit him in the farm, and he got me out there, and he said, "Hey, get up on this pony." I'm 14, 15 years old, and I'm thinking, that pony, it's a little thing, man. I can ride that pony. And so I said, "Surely you want me to get up?" So I get up on the pony, and as soon as he let go of that pony went crazy. He tried to kill me. He was trying to run me into the fence, you know, and then run around and bucking and everything else. I looked over, and Wendell's over there, my oldest brother, just laughing. And the pony threw me off, and here I am. I mean, I was hurting. I was sore and fearful. But I got back up and went over and got on that pony a second time. And I rode the pony a little bit longer the second time. He threw me off, but Wendell, my brother, wasn't laughing anymore. And so you might say, well, you mean you got back on, you overcome your fears, and you got back on the pony. That's a good thing. No, I didn't overcome my fear of the pony. I overcome my fear of my brother. I got back on the pony because I knew that if I didn't, he would laugh at me for the rest of my life. He would have something against me. He would tell everybody about how funny it was to see me being bounced around by that pony and then too afraid to get back on that pony. I wasn't going to let that happen. Which brings us back to the Apostle Paul. If he had not went back to Lystra knowing that it was God's will, Satan would have used it against him for the rest of his life. Because the devil was the one that had him stoned to start with. It was the devil who tried to discourage him from being in Lystra doing the will of God. Satan will always try to get you out of God's will for your life. And Paul knew if he hadn't went back into Lystra that this would have been something that Satan would have used against him. Can I tell you, I want to preach a message to you this morning that's simply entitled Return to God's Will. So Satan will not use it against you. Return to Lystra. What Paul did is what many need to do today, and you might even be blinded to it. The reason you're not enjoying your Christianity, the reason you're not flourishing, the reason you don't have the joy, the peace of God, is because you've left the will of God and you might not even realize it. Return to God's will for your life. Paul was there in Lystra because God had called him to ministry to the Gentiles. That had not changed. There are many today that are not serving God in God's will because of someone else that Satan has worked through to keep you from God's will for your life. Can I tell you, for the believer, as we study, and if you're here for Sunday morning Sunday school, we've been going through a series on living with the Holy Spirit and understanding what that is. And that when you get saved, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. He dwells within you. He's there to lead, guide, and direct us into the will of God. The most important thing for every born-again believer, once you get saved, is to be led by the Spirit of God to plant you in a local New Testament church. That is God's will for every person that's been saved. Now, we know that because the first step, the first the first decision that a believer needs to make after salvation is to identify with Jesus Christ, okay, in his death, burial, and resurrection. Not to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, but to realize that he died and he was buried. He died on Calvary's cross. He was buried, resurrected on the third day so that he would be able to pay a sin debt that we owed and couldn't pay. So once you get saved, then you should not be ashamed of that, but you ought to want to identify with Jesus Christ through baptism. Baptism allows you to identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection. When you go under the water of baptism, then you identify with Jesus Christ's death and his burial. When you come up out of the water of baptism, you identify with his resurrection. The church has been given the ordinance of baptism. You cannot have biblical baptism unless you have a biblical church, the authority of a biblical church baptizing you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So God wants you to identify not only with the gospel, but he wants you to identify with the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, which dwells within you. So it is very important that when you get saved, the most important thing that you do is to find and let God plant you. In the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says God plants that believer as it pleases God, as God knows exactly where he wants you to be in the church that he wants you to be in. Can I tell you, it is not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will never lead you to join an unbiblical church. If you're a member of an unbiblical church, you were not led there by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, once you're saved and dwelling in you, he's going to lead you to a place where you are going to be hearing the preaching and the teaching of the Bible, the very words of God. And if once you have been led to that place and you have been baptized in that place and God has planted you in your church, that is God's will for your life. The New Testament church. That's for the believer. But all over the United States especially, you find believers leaving churches. Now, I'm not talking about unbiblical churches. I'm talking about leaving a place where you were saved and baptized and God planted you in that church. And that maybe even if you haven't left, thinking about leaving the church that God placed you in. And it's not because of God's leading. It's because you've been stoned. All you were doing is serving the Lord. All you were doing was doing what God called you to do. You're just being in church and doing what's right. And the same people that you thought your friends and thought that they appreciated you being used of God even to bring healing and who wanted to deify you at one point, but now you've been stoned. Hurt. Possibly mistreated, maybe even abused by some. And you want to leave. Not because of God's leading, understand that. But you've been stoned by someone who wanted to hurt you for whatever reason. Can I tell you that Satan wants to use that? Because Satan always wants to work against God's will for our lives. If it's God's will, then Satan's going to be in opposition to it. And when you leave that, it could possibly affect you for the rest of your life if you don't return. Throughout the years, and of course, I've been going on 33 years pastoring this Lighthouse Baptist Church, and in 33 years, I've seen a lot of different things. The thing that saddens me the most is knowing that God has planted certain people in the church that because of things that I could not control, things that possibly other members had done against them, rightly so even. I mean, they had been possibly looking in their hearts and minds, been stoned. Because of what somebody else has done, they've left the church. And as they've left the church, not because of God leading. Now, I believe that God does lead every now and then, especially if you're moving in different things, but not by God's leading. They left because they've been hurt They've been stoned. In their mind, I'm never going back there. God's will or not, I'm not going back there. They had their chance and I tried to be a help to them. They didn't want me. They abused me, whatever it might be. And I'm not going back there. I'm not staying in that church because of not God, but because of someone who possibly stoned them. And I've seen what it's happened, what has happened to them. And they're always having good intentions to find another Bible church, another biblical church. And some of them have, but they haven't stayed that long because that was not God's will for them to be in that church. And when you're running from God, whether you realize it or not, Satan will get the victory in your life, and they've completely gotten out of church. One couple that comes to mind, they had done that, and they had good intentions about going to another church and serving there, but it wasn't God's will, and they didn't stay in that church, and they were on the verge of divorce. And I got a call and said, "Preacher, would you come and help us?" And I said, "Sure, I will. I'll come if I can be of help." And through that, they revealed to me that it was never God's will. They knew that they were outside of God's will by leaving the church and wanted to come back and ask me if I would help them. And because they were willing to return, their marriage was salvaged. And they're continuing to serve God in God's will, in the church that God planted them in. And I can go over several situations like that when they realized it was not the stoning that they need to focus on. It was God's will. And if it was God's will, stoned or not, I'm going to return. Being stoned or not, I'm going to return because that is God's will for my life. In Acts in chapter 20, we looked at some of this in Sunday school, but I want you to see this. Paul, understanding the most important thing for every believer was the church that God would plant them in, because in that church is where they were to be fed. I tell people, you're looking for a church, there's four things you need to look to. The first thing you need to look to is the doctrine. God is not going to lead you to, the Spirit of God will never lead you to an undoctrinally sound church. But even within the doctrinally sound churches, there's a diversity of personality. Even in good independent fundamental Baptist churches, you can go to different ones and find a different personality in every church. It's not the same. So you have to, first of all, look at the doctrine. The second thing you look at is the personality. The personality will always stem from the leadership of the church. And that's why the Bible says that you have to esteem the leadership very highly for their work's sake. If you cannot esteem the leadership of the church, that's not the church that God has for you. The third thing that you need to look to is the church accomplishing God's work. Are they doing what God has established the church to do? If they're not, that's not the church that you need to be a part of. Because even though you might not be able to be involved in every ministry, at least being a part of the church, you are contributing to the opportunity of every ministry. And the last thing that you always look at after these other things line up is when you leave the church, has God spoke to you? Because if you're where God wants you to be, whenever the preacher gets up to preach and whenever the Sunday school teacher gets up to teach, you are going to learn something. God is going to speak to you through the preaching and the teaching of that ministry. Amen. Because that's how we are spiritually fed. The Bible says here in Acts in chapter 20, we find that Paul knew that it would be the last time he would be at Ephesus. They brought all the pastors together. And this is what he said to them, verse 27. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." That's what I've been doing. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." He said, preachers, all of you understand the most important thing that you do, the most important work that you have is to preach God's word and to feed the flock that come into that church to find the place of refuge and to find the very help that God has for them. To preach the word of God, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. He says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock." Need to have a pastor praying for you and watching over you and helping you and counseling you and preaching the word of God to feed you. The very words of that's just how the New Testament church is established. And yet so many have looked away from God's will and being planted in the church and focused on somebody who has stoned you. And you're allowing that person to keep you from the will of God for your life. Need to return. Need to return to God's will for your life. That's where God planted you. Only God should be able to lead you away. Nothing else. Nothing else. Not only is it the church, but it's your ministry in the church. Some have not left the church, but they've just stopped serving in the church, which is almost as bad. Your ministry in the church, you've been stoned. You've been stoned, so you quit your ministry. Whether it be the choir, well, buddy just doesn't do it the same way that I like for it to be done. And I tried to tell him how to do it, and he rebuked me. And in your mind, he stoned you. Well, I've tried working with that junior church person, and I just didn't, we couldn't get along, and this happened, and that happened. And so I'm just not going to serve in that junior church any longer. Because you've been stoned. You focused on that instead of the will of God. Well, we're going into areas that I don't know that we need to be going into the bus ministry, so I'm just going to quit the bus ministry. Because they're not doing it the way you want it done. And in your mind, they've stoned you. They've mistreated you. I'm not going to run for trustee again this year. No, no, they just won't listen. I'm fed up with the nursery ministry. I mean, come on. Can I tell you, the only way that we're able to have the type of services we have here is because we have all these different ministries. The only way to have all the different ministries taking place is to have people serving God. Amen. Somebody was telling me the other day that they got talking to somebody going to other churches. They said, how much do you get paid to work the nursery? Really? Oh yeah, they pay the pianist and they play the organist. They pay people to come and sit in the pew. They pay. Are you going to church for a paycheck? Are you acknowledging the church that God planted you in and how He equipped you to be able to serve God with your ministries and your gifts through the church? If you're looking for somebody to pay you to do something or to even to pay you with a pat on the back, listen to me, you have your reward. Are you serving man or are you serving God? If you're serving God, then you understand this is what God would have me to do. It's God's will for my life. That's what He has enabled me to do. I have talents in this area. I can sit down and I can help these children. I can sit down, I can teach these 3- and 4-year-olds. I can go on the bus ministry. I can relate to those people on the bus ministry. I can do this and I can do that. And yet that's God's will for your life. But somebody has stoned you. I'm never going to do that again. I'm not going back to Lystra. That was not Paul's mentality. Paul's mentality, God, I really didn't enjoy that being stoned very much. And I would prefer not to be stoned again. But if it's your will that I go back to Lystra, I'm going back to Lystra. Because God's will for my life is far more important than anything else that I face. Have you left God's will for your life because you've been stoned? Yeah, you need to return. Return to God's will for your life, whatever it might be. One last thought here. Your love and desire to help people. That's what God's will is. But because I've been stoned, I'm never going to trust anybody else again. Not going to put myself out there ever again to be hurt like I was then. That person hurt me. Thought they was a friend. They maybe even was going to deify you at one point. that person that when they first meet you that wants to deify you, be the first person that wants to stone you as well. Yeah. So I'm never going to love another person. I'm never going to try to help anybody else because I've been stoned. Well, no, that's not why you should have done it to start with. Should have had a desire to help somebody and do good by somebody and love somebody because God commands you to. In the book of Matthew in chapter 22, and almost done, so follow with me here. This is important. I think there's a lot of people in this area right here. You've been hurt, and all you did was something good, and somebody's taken advantage of that, and they've abused you because of your goodness. They've abused your trust. They've abused whatever it was you did for them, and now they're using it against you. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Never walk away from that. That's God's will. You love God that way. But then he says, that's the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. No one gets a pass to not love others. It's never God's will for you to turn away from loving others. Well, you don't know what they've done. I don't have to. They probably stoned you. But if it's God's will for you to be there to start with, it's still God's will because stoning should never keep you from God's will. 1 John chapter 2. Let me just read to you. Write it down. Because I believe some people are living this way and you've allowed Satan to use it against you and you don't even realize it. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hated his brother. Well, I'm justified. No, there's no justification on hating your brother. None. He stoned me. It doesn't matter. The commandment of God is he that saith he is in the light, that means walking in the will of God, and hated his brother is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Means if you do not have this in your heart and your life, if you do not have a love, your hatred is going to cause you to stumble. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Satan is using it against you. Paul knew that he had to forgive the very ones that stoned him so that Satan could not use it against him. It's not about the other person. Not about whether they deserve your forgiveness or not. It's about what you're doing and allowing Satan to use it against you. It's God's will you to love, and you need to love no matter what. Hebrews in chapter 12, and I'm almost done here. It goes right along with it, what we find here in Hebrews in chapter 12. In Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men. Well, I'm never going to be at peace with that person. Why? They stoned me. Well, let Satan keep you from ever going back into Lystra again then. See how that plays out. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Whoa. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. God's grace is sufficient to get you to do what God's will is. Lest any root of bitterness, springing up, trouble you. And thereby, look right here, many be defiled. My oldest brother wanted to use that. He'd laughing. If I wouldn't have got back up on that, every one of my family members would have been told the story. How that young whippersnapper thought he was something until he got on that pony. He was too afraid to get back up on that pony. You should have seen him. He's crying like a little sissy. In my own heart, I thought, I am not going to give you any ammunition to laugh at me and make fun of me. I'm afraid to get back on that pony. I rather would not want to get on that pony. I'd rather not ever get on a pony again. But I guarantee you one thing I'm going to do. I'm not going to give you any ammunition. I'm going to get back up on that pony. Whether I get bucked off or not, I'm getting back up on that pony. And you need to go back to Lystra. You need to go back to what God's will is for your life. Whether you've been stoned or not, it's God's will. That's what's most important. Because if you're not in God's will, Satan will use that against you for the rest of your life. Something in closing here that happened after this in Acts chapter 16 at Lystra. God always had a purpose. In Lystra, in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, Paul, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. It would be in Lystra that Paul would meet young Timothy, whom he mentored to take over the ministries that Paul had overseen and to pastor the church at Ephesus. If he would have never went back to Lystra, he would have never had the opportunity to impact Timothy's life. God always has a reason. God always has a purpose. What have you left that you knew was God's will? But because you've been stoned, you're not in God's will. You need to return. God has future blessings in store as we continue to live in God's will. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Doesn't matter who stoned you, what matters is God's will for your life. God's will for your life in your church is important. God's will for your life in your ministries in that church is important. God's will for you to love and forgive is important. Because if you don't, Satan will use that against you for the rest of your life. Oh, how we need to return to God's will. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Thank you for this example, the Apostle Paul. And even though he was left for dead, was able to overcome that and to return to your will in Lystra. Help us to learn from that and make decisions today to return. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.